Well, I'm excited to speak to you guys today. I think I know almost everybody in the room, but just in case I don't know you, my name is Winter Hendrickson. I'm married to this guy. We have some children that are really cute. They don't look quite like us because they don't. Like, they have different parents, but we adopted them, so we're excited. Life is good. I'm actually a youth leader here at James River Church, and I'm really excited to speak to you guys because, for one, I don't have to say stuff like, it hurts my feelings that I can't finish my sentence right now. Like, I don't have to say that to you because in our youth group, it's crazy. And I'll have to say something like, Augustine's like sitting right here, and I have to be like, guys, I don't know what he just said to me. He's 2 feet away. Like, can we just be a little quieter? So I'm happy that you guys are all, like, calm, rational adults, and you don't scream. Thank you. It's a joy being a youth leader, but sometimes it's nice to have, you know, a soapbox where you can hear yourself think. So, all right. So today we're talking about something really near and dear to my heart. It's called the Seven Mountains of Influence, of leadership. A lot of you guys might not know what those are. I started back about a year ago in Stanley's group. In his prayer group, we were praying over the Seven Mountains of Influence, and I just felt like God was in it. Like his heart was in it. And every time we prayed for them, I was like, oh, this is so good. This is how society is going to be transformed. It's not just about the church. It's about all realms of society and seeing God infiltrate those realms of society and seeing Christians not just be anointed in the church realm, but in every realm of society. And so, and those realms are realms like religion, education, media, arts and entertainment, family and business. And I'll give some examples of those. So that's kind of what we're talking about, these spheres of influence that our societies, that our nations run on, are these spheres of influence. So they came up with these spheres, or this Seven Mountains thing in the 70s. It was the founders of Campus Crusade for Christ and YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission. And they said, in order for there to be national change and transformation, all seven of these realms or spheres must be reached for Christ. So it's not just the church realm. It's supposed to be all realms of society. And so I'm just going to break down those realms for you, those mountains. I like how we call them mountains because whenever we sing that song, I'll climb this mountain, I think about my mountains. I'm like, I got the business, but I get it. You know, this is something that's passionate, something I'm super passionate about. It's not just the church mountain, it's all realms of society. And sometimes as Christians, we get a little disillusioned. And I'm going to go into my journey with that. We get a little disillusioned because we're not a church. We're not in the church doing all these activities because we have a job and we have other passions, but we want to see those realms get reached for Christ. Sometimes we get a little discouraged. Maybe I'm not as anointed as that person, or maybe I'm not as cool as that person because I'm passionate about my kids, you know, and that's just kind of wrong, you know, so we're all different, and God created us all different. He gave us all different skills, and that's the truth. So I have some pictures to show you as well, because I like pictures, and I'm a very visual person. So the first picture I want to show you is from the religion realm. So if you guys want to pull up the religion realm, it's one of my favorite religion group people. Look at this, people. I'm a part of that right there. It's kind of it's going away, but the religion sphere of influence, it's so sad. I can't even look at it, okay? We should just tape over it. But okay, so that's the church realm. And when the church has good leaders, how many of you guys know, when you have a good pastor, a good team of leadership in your church, the church thrives. And when that's not happening, the church suffers. If something happened in the church and a pastor had an affair or did something terrible, that affects who? The entire church, the entire realm. It affects everything. So leadership is so important in the church. Leadership and unity is so important in church, and that's why I love this team. We all love each other very much. So that's that realm. Can't look at it ever again. All right, so education. Let's pull that one up. I kind of stole some pictures from Facebook. There's this really beautiful person. She's like totally is rocking in the education realm. How many of you guys know that the schools need Jesus and they need teachers, leaders in the school that love God, that are influencing that realm, that are on fire, that are anointed to teach, actually? So Sarah's totally doing that. She's totally rocking in that. So that's a really good example. Let's do the government. So government was hard for me. This is me and Autumn on the lawn of the state capitol during that like Franklin Graham thing. So that was all I got. So someone in here needs to run for office, okay? Like that's really annoying, okay? But like Autumn is totally involved in like the governmental realm. And also I think like my brother-in-law, Zach, I don't know where he is in the room. He's downstairs helping with my sister. Okay, good. Good for him. I'm happy about that. But I also feel like he's called the government, and that's totally legit. We actually, like, at this event, this Franklin Graham event, Franklin Graham told everybody, basically, like, look around your church and find somebody that would be really good to run for, like, city commissioners or for office of some sort and help them to run and help them do it. Because we need to, like the LGBT community has, like, an agenda. We need to have an agenda, too. Like, they're mobilized. We need to mobilize ourselves and get Christians in there. That was cool. I thought that was legit. He's a cool guy. So that, I like that picture, too. So, all right. And then media. So we have Hannah. How many of you guys know Michael and Matthias' sister, Hannah? Well, that's Shiloh. That's Hannah. So Hannah Hannah is a producer at Keloland, and she is totally influencing the media in South Dakota in every way. She decides what's going to go on the news. Sometimes she makes decisions not to put stuff on the news if it's not, something that people need to know about kind of thing. Like, she's just really smart. She's really good at her job. So we need more people in media like Hannah Olson. I'm just saying. She's awesome. And also Shiloh Apple. Sorry, guys. She's awesome. She is, the editor of the newspaper in Redfield. Like, she is just making it happen. So we need people in the media realm. We need people, sometimes, the media can be pretty corrupt. I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist when it comes to the media, but that's okay, whatever. It's probably not as bad as I think, but we need people that love God in the media, shining the light. I love God TV, when they show amazing things that our God are doing. I love the Finger of God video when they produce that video and people can see blind eyes open, and that's really cool. So we need more people in the media realm. We got arts and entertainment. So I'm going to show you a picture of my good friend, Tara. How many of you guys know Tara Cypher? She used to be Tara Burley. She's my friend from high school. But she has this business in Sioux Falls called Wild Goat Design or something like that. It's kind of weird, but she's an artist. So artists are just a little weird, they do weird things. But she paints amazing art, very prophetic art. How many of you guys seen her at the 24-hour prayer events where she paints prophetic pictures of what's going on in the room? And she's has an amazing way of expressing it. I know a lot of people in here also have a heart for the arts and entertainment. Also entertainment also has to do with that Sean Bowles stuff, where he goes and ministers to famous people and basically reads all their mail and they get saved kind of stuff. I love that. I actually I think about Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift. I pray about them all the time. I don't know why. I just I love the fact that these guys are so influential and that they could possibly love Jesus. They're not loving Jesus right now, don't get me wrong, but it's possible that they could. And I think we should pray for these people and for the entertainment realm to be completely influenced by Christ. And then we have family. I'm going to show you a really cool picture of an amazing family. Look at this. Kayleen and Alex did this picture. So you guys know they're really good at this kind of stuff. Couldn't figure that out. It looks better on my computer than it does here, though. So this is the realm of family is taking it back. And everybody in this room should have some sort of leadership influence in family, because your family is super valuable. And in order for society to be changed, family has to be influenced. Family has to function the way God wants it to function. So, and that involves I like it because we're adopting. And I think that's definitely a statement in society. And that's a picture of Christ and what he did for us. And the last one is business. First, let's do the one of you guys. So, like, this is Kayleen and Alex, and they're, like, functioning in the business realm. These guys are legit. When they were, like, in high school, like, they figured out ways to make money. Like, and, like, no matter what they're doing, they're probably making money right now just sitting there. I don't know how, but they are. Like, they're just really good entrepreneurs. And, like, the fact that they say stuff like, I wish they would teach business classes in high school. Like, that just shows, like, okay, yeah, those guys are, like, business people. They're knowing what they're doing. They're entrepreneurs, and they're totally getting it for God. And, like, they're totally infiltrating Huron for it and our young society to work. And so I really respect what you guys are doing. And then we have another picture of business. And this is my team from Lewis, like, back in the day. I hope that Robert and Susan don't listen to this because that's our new team. But, this was my favorite team. Like, the internet's a crazy place because they could listen to this message, can't they? All right, I love you, Robert and Susan. Okay, so, anyways, this was, like, when at Lewis, like, I felt like God was, like, moving the most. And all these people were passionate and, like, going after exactly what that needed to happen at Lewis. And, like, God was, like, thriving on it. It was a really good team. It doesn't exist anymore. This is our new store manager. This is our old store manager. Whatever. And actually, David is in Sioux Falls too. He's working out of Lewis, so everyone still works for Lewis, which is great. But we're all just, and now he's an assistant manager too. So it's just cool. It's cool to see how, like, God can just, like, do stuff. So anyways, I'm going to talk more about them later. We can turn the lights back on here for a minute, and then I want to focus in here on some, I won't go through all, like, the realms, but the main realm I want to talk about is business. But all the things I'm going to talk about can be crossed over to the other realms. So, like, let's say you're like, I'm really not really into the business realm, I'm really into the arts realm, but you can just use some of these principles, these godly principles, and they can help you be a leader in that realm. So, are you guys with me? You guys understand what realms and mountains are? Who's ready to take a mountain? I'm ready. I'm excited. I love this kind of stuff. So I have this taped to my desk at work. I work at Lewis Drug, if you didn't know. But it says, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So when righteous people make a lot of money and bless the community, the city is super happy about that. Because that blesses the city, doesn't it? Isn't that the word of God is so right, you know? Like, that's true. And then it says, when the wicked perish, there are shouts for joy. And that's Proverbs 11:10. And that last part is always like, you know, that seems kind of negative. Like, when wicked people perish, why are people so happy? But the thing is, like, have you ever had, like, a terrible boss? And then they weren't your boss anymore? Were you a little bit happy? Like, it really affects your life. I mean, like, so, like, when someone was doing something really bad, like, in a workplace, and they end up going to jail for it, or they end up getting fired for it, that's justice. And I think it's right, you know? Like, it's biblical. I think that people should be happy when people get found out for things that they do wrong. So, and I love that scripture. I think about it often, and I want to bless Huron through the work that I do. And even if it doesn't seem spiritual. So, and that's where I want to start. I want to talk about my struggle with loving business. So it seems kind of strange that we're having a business discussion at church, but it's totally legit. So I got saved when I was 15, so 13 years ago. Forever ago now, it feels like. All right, so I got saved, and I was, like, an instant leader in the church. Like, I did everything for God. I was leading mission trips instantly. I was a leader in my youth group. I didn't have any other, like, extracurricular activities at school. It was all church stuff. Like, every single night of the week, I was either mentoring someone at youth group or doing drama practice or something to do with church and with God in the religion spheres, which is totally cool. Never would change that for anything. I loved everything about it. So, but it definitely got me a little bit confused. So, I also, at that same time, I was working in retail. And, you know, like, not every little girl's dream growing up, maybe it was Kayleen and Alex's dream, is to be in business, but it wasn't my little girl dream. It was to, like, I'm going to grow up and be a retail manager, you know? Like, that's not really, like, something I've ever heard my nieces say. But so like I worked though at Econo Foods as like a cashier. It's like a grocery store, and then I worked at Walmart for 5 years, and now I've been at Lewis Drug for 5 years. So like at the same time though, I was working really hard at church stuff. So I was doing both, and it's really, they're both legit, both good. I'm gonna do both forever probably. Hopefully not forever on one of them, but okay. So I really enjoyed, like, so this is what I found out from this. Like, I was really good at strategy. Like, and I know, like, when I play Monopoly and Settlers of Catan, like, I love to beat people in it. Like, I love it. I love the fact that you have no money at the end of that game and I have all of it. Like, I love that. Like, I don't know why. It just, like, makes me tick. Like, I love winning. Like, I love when I can build something and it shuts you down. So this is, it's really exciting for me. So it's just something that makes me tick. I found that about myself. And I also, like, enjoy merchandising things. I love making a display beautiful. And then I love seeing everybody and their mother coming running to buy that junk because it was beautiful and they probably don't need it, which is sad, but still, it was really, it's really exciting for me. And then I love goal setting. Like, I have this weird thing is if I have like a sales goal, like I had this like this magic number, like if I don't get that sales goal, I will go nuts, like, and I'll have to like work until that happens. I have like this weird high for making sales. If I sell something really crazy, I'm like, who can I tell that I sold something crazy today? Like I sold a lawnmower that was like $450 in January, and I was like, oh man, who can I tell that I sold this to? This is so exciting, and like no one really cared except for. So I finally text my friend Dave who works in Sioux Falls now. I was like, I sold this lawnmower, and he was like, that is amazing. And I'm like, that's why I love you. You know, like that was so exciting. Like that's why we're friends. And just like things like that make you tick. And then it also, for some reason, I have this weird thing where I love making money for someone else. It's just, I don't know, whatever. So that's what we do at Retail Management. They pay you and we make all the money for them. But it's fun. And then I love team building. I love working with a team. I love being a part of a team. And that's really fun for me. I love just all sorts of things. I love, actually, when I go into a business, I walk into it. Poor Hannah at Aroma. That's where my husband works. He works at Aroma, and Hannah is the manager there. And I always ask her questions. I'm like, okay, are you guys, like how does this work with your health code things? Like, are you guys making enough money? Like, you had 50 people in lunch today. Let me think. Let me do all the math for you. And I'm always figuring out if they're making money or not. It really bothers me if they're not, if they're paying their staff and not making money. Like, it really, I can't handle it. Like, I have to know that they're making money, like, because that's how I tick, and that's how my brain works. And the problem with it is, like, I'm passionate about all these weird things, but it's not, like, a religious activity, you know? Like, it's not necessarily something that you would consider a religious thing. Like, and I had to go before the Lord on that. Like, I really enjoy these things. I really like these things, and I'm getting promoted in these things, but it's not a religious activity. It's not something that looks spiritual on the outside. And I had to ask him if that's okay. Is that okay to pursue these things? And he was so faithful. Like, he was so faithful to show me, like, he's like, it's okay. Like, you can do these things, and you can be just, it can be just as holy as evangelizing. It can be just as holy. Like, and it's just like, you can stock shelves, and it can be just as holy as loving on your kids and sharing Jesus with them. And it can be just, it can be the same thing. And it was like mind-blowing to me. I'm like, how can that be just as holy? Like, he's like, he's just showing me how, like, I am influencing society by the work that I do. And if I do it well, it will shine Jesus' light. And it will change society if we do it well. Rose is like, amen. She's like all like businesswoman over there. Like, she got it. She's getting it. Yeah. And there's other benefits. Actually, it felt like the Lord told me, like, several times, like, when I started, like, work at Lewis, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can go into business retail again. It doesn't seem very spiritual. And he was like, gave me X amount of years that I can do it. Like, I was like, okay, I'm faithful. And then those years went up, and then he said, okay, can you do it for this many more years? And I'm like, no. And then he's like, you can. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it again. I'll work there again. Now I like it. It's okay. It's not always fun, you know. And then also, like, there's some other benefits to it. It provides for my family. I'm learning leadership skills and team skills that I'll never learn. I'm sowing into the nations with the funds that God gives me. Like, I'm being able to support missionaries, which in my mind, when I thought about being a grown-up, I thought I was going to be a missionary forever, which I still hope that I will be someday, and I probably will be. But I realized that, like, missionaries don't make any money. So I just thought I would be a poor missionary the rest of my life, and I wouldn't be able to support missions. But it's, like, totally the opposite that God's doing. He's helped me to support missions right now in the season of my life, and I love that, like, that I can sow into the nation and do something I love and change the city of Huron through the business realm. And I also, it blesses the city to have good business leaders. It's amazing. And also, I will be able to pay off my house before I'm 30, which is pretty sweet. So, all good things. So, when there's, like, leadership changes, everyone feels it down the line. So even, like, in every single realm of society, if something happens, think about the family realm. If one of the leaders in that household leaves, like, that family's, like, really in trouble. Like, you know, unless something happens, you know, like, and the business realm is the same way. When there's a leader that changes, like, sometimes it's not as dramatic as, like, a family, but, like, everything will change. Like everyone will feel it. Like, if, like, a cart pusher leaves Walmart, like, no one's going to feel that necessarily. But if, like, the store manager leaves, like, everybody feels that. Why? Because leadership matters. Like, it really matters how you treat people, how you interact with people, like, how you manage people, because that's how they'll perceive their work for the rest of their time at that position. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Same with every realm of society. All right, so I'm going to give some, it's called 8 Ways to Be an Amazing Mountain Leader. So this is specifically going towards business. And why 8? That's all I could think of at the moment. So that's why there's 8 ways. So there's way more. There's like a bajillion books about business leadership. But I wanted to take some perspective from the Bible and just like go from there for you guys. So I'm going to go over 8 ways to become an amazing mountain leader. You guys doing okay? Thank you for not screaming. I've gotten so far. I could have only said half that already if I was in group. So, all right. So, number one is hard worker. You know, and Matt Breams, you guys all know him. He used to say this thing is still true. Whenever he interviews somebody for a position, every single person he interviews is a hard worker. That's what they say. You're like, what's your special skills? Well, I'm a hard worker. Okay. What else, what other things can you do? Because, like, every person says they're a hard worker, but whether or not you're a hard worker depends on you. It's really true. And it really matters if you work really hard. It really does. The Bible has a lot to say about working hard and not being lazy. A ton to say about it. Just read Proverbs. Every time I read it, I have some scriptures here. I'm like, okay, wow, God doesn't want us to be lazy. That's my takeaway from it. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be lazy. Okay. So it says, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. Proverbs 12:11. That's pretty clear. It also says, a sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. And that's Proverbs 13:4. So how do you work hard? Like, how do you work hard? Like, you need to be motivated. And that's something that I think about as a leader, is like, how can I motivate this high school student who has a job at work to be motivated about plants? Like, because they're not, you know, why would they be? Like, that's not on their radar. Their radar is Pokemon Go or Pokemon Go. I said it right, Pokemon. Thank you. The kids always yell at me in youth group because I say Pokemon. I say Pokemon instead of Pokemon. I'm like, it doesn't make any sense. Anyways, so there's goal setting. For me, like, goal setting and winning is what motivates me. And I have to find out what motivates you as a leader. So, like, for instance, like, our garden shop every year at Lewis has a garden shop, and they have a competition between all the stores, and then whoever is the best garden shop, whoever has the best sales, best look, best everything, wins. And they win a pretty good cash prize, too, which is pretty sweet. We have won every other year since I started. And then the other store that wins is Southgate in Sioux Falls. It's on 41st in Minnesota. in Sioux Falls, which is the two busiest streets in town. So they're kind of my like enemy a little bit. So I'm always competing against them, and like, which is funny because when Matt told me he was leaving, I was like, what store are you going to? It better not be Southgate because we couldn't be friends anymore. And then when I came back from vacation, I found out he's going to Southgate. And we can't be friends anymore. It's so sad. I do not like that store. I just love everybody that works there now. Dang it. Okay, but I don't, like, honestly, when it comes to that garden shop prize, I don't even care about the money. I just want to know that I want it. Like, I just want to win. So, like, that's what motivates me. It's really weird. I'll work really super ridiculously hard to win that stupid prize. Because that's what clicks in my head. That's what motivates me. So whatever motivates you, whatever it is, you got to find it. Like, I'm also, like, running right now, which is really hard for me. It's really difficult. But I have to find something that motivates me. And what motivated me was, like, when we watched Chad run his marathon in Fargo, was watching those marathoners cross the finish line and just cried hysterically the whole time. And I was like, that's beautiful. And so that motivates me. Whenever I'm, like, feeling really weird, I'm like, I just want to watch some marathoners cross the finish line. And that's motivating. So, like, we're all just weird. We're all uniquely different. And we got to find out what motivates us so that we can work hard and be diligent and not lazy. And sometimes that's hard to do, especially if you're like a stay-at-home mom or dad. Exactly, Jesse. I can see that being hard, like, because these kids are screaming and you have to do dishes, and that would be, I think I would quit, Jesse. Your boss won't let you? Yeah, you better listen to her. All right, so the second way to be an amazing mountain leader is integrity. You have to have integrity. And the Bible has a lot to say about integrity, too. It says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Colossians 3:24. And basically, it's like, you do your work before the Lord. Like, everything you do, it's not necessarily for your boss. It's not necessarily for the fact that you have to have this job or you won't make money. You do it before the Lord. Like, you have to. And that has to be, like, a huge contributing factor, especially in the area of integrity, because it's so easy to cut corners. It's so easy to lie and to do things that aren't right. And sometimes you won't get found out, sometimes you will, but it's really important. I have some examples, especially when no one's watching. Can you imagine? Our generation right now has phones that are really smart. They're called smartphones. And they do really amazing things, and you can be entertained for years on your phone if you wanted to be. And I've noticed that, like, a lot of people like to go into bathrooms and play on their phone. Like, it's just, like, so they can, like, be there for forever and not really get found out. And that's an integrity issue. Like, it's a really big deal. You're stealing from your boss by doing that kind of stuff. So I mean, these are big things. These are some big pitfalls. When I was in high school working, I was bribed to come into work by my boss with beer. He said, do you want some beer to cover the shift for me? And I was like, no, how about I just cover it and I'll just come in because it's my job. And he's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, yeah, you could totally go to jail, buddy. So like you just don't do that kind of stuff. You know, it's a big deal. You know, you don't feed teenagers beer because you want them to do what you want. That's a different way of motivating people. He thought that was the motivation of those teenagers. There's better motivations. So actually, what do you think the most common place people steal from? From their work. Yeah, from their workplace. Because they think that it's not that big of a deal. They think that their workplace owes it to them. And that's not true. They don't owe it to you. They're paying you a wage to be there. So, like, you're already being paid in full. You're happy with your salary. Should be. Like, if you lie to, like, customers about the product that you're selling to them, just to get them to buy it, that's an integrity issue. If you are just making things up because you don't know, like, that's an integrity issue. It's okay sometimes to say, I don't know, but I'll find out for you. It doesn't make you look not smart. It actually makes you look more intelligent when you do stuff like that, especially as young people. Yesterday, like, actually, I had a yard sale. I was thinking about this. This lady came up, and I was selling these, like, weird, like, Holland, I don't know, I hate yard sales, I make any money at all. Anyways, I was selling these, like, shoes, these, like, wooden shoes, and, like, on the bottom of it was written $5 because my kid got them from, like, a yard sale, like, last year, and we're, like, selling them again. And she she was like, here's $5 for these shoes. And I was like so tempted just to take the money when really they're only 50 cents. I was like, oh, okay, they're 50 cents. She's like, oh, okay, thank you. That's a great deal. It's just hard. It's hard to have integrity because sometimes there's some loss. You know, you think there's some loss, but whatever. Okay, and then this is like the most embarrassing integrity thing I had happen to me. My generation don't like to use the phone, like call people on the phone. We like using our phones, but we don't like calling and talking to people. We like texting them, you know, just it's a lot easier. So one time Matt asked me if I called our distribution center to make sure these bun coffee makers were on the truck. And I told him that I did and I didn't, because I didn't want to call them because it was hard. Because that's my generation. It's hard. It's like, how hard is that? It sounds so pathetic right now, but like, it's so like, that was like, it was years ago. Okay, come on, give me some slack. Okay, and so like, I just didn't want to do it. It's hard, you know? And so, and he was like, did you call them? Why aren't they on the truck? And I was like, and it was like senior day, and senior day is kind of a big deal. It's not a big deal. Okay, and so it is a big deal. Thanks, Michael. And we didn't have any bun coffee makers on our truck, and it was Christmas time. And he was like, so did you call him? And I was like, yeah, I called him. And then I was in his office later that day crying because I did not call them. Like, I lied to him. So it's a really big deal to not lie. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's kind of silly, but that's my example. There's bigger things to do. You guys understand integrity. Number three is kindness. Kindness is like treating others with respect. And the Bible has a lot to say about that as well. As a leader, you need to be kind. You have to be kind. Even if it's not in your personality, be kind, figure it out. Like, you gotta be kind. All right, so a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And that's Proverbs 15:1. When you are a leader, no matter what you do, someone at some point is going to be so mad at you because you're in charge and you can make a difference. And right now their life is bad and you're the only one that can change it. And sometimes you can't change that for them, but you can change how you talk to them, how you interact with them. So at least weekly, someone's coming up to me with a complaint and they're pretty mad at me because I'm the one that can change it. And if I respond with like being annoyed by them, shutting them down, not really talking to them about the issue, and like in a hurry, like the situation escalates and it gets worse. But if I respond with a kind word, or I listen to them, be like, I understand how this is, I really can't do anything about it right now, but I understand what you're feeling, then everything calms down. Like everything just like, whew. And sometimes I just can't say anything because they're so mad, and that's okay. It's better than just blowing up back at them. So it's just like such a poor form of management to yell. I think Matt told me that right when I started being a floor manager. He said, like, we don't ever yell here because that is the weakest form of management that you could do. That's the weakest form of being a leader that you could be. The Bible also says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 16:24. You want to be a leader that you would want to have. You want to be the leader when somebody's having a crisis in their life, like a family member dies or something like that. You want to be the leader that they would want to have. So like if somebody has like a family member that dies at work or something like that, you would want to be with them. You don't want to have them worried about work. It's like not a time for them to worry about work. That's a time for them to worry about family and to worry about things later. So you just want to be like in their corner and know about their lives and build trust. I read in this book, this leadership book about building trust with people. If you can find a way to build people's trust and for them to like grab hold and see where you're going with the goal in mind, like you can do anything. Like, as long as, like, they're on board with your goal, they're going to follow you no matter what. Even if they don't really get it, they're going to follow you to that goal. Right, Michael? Michael will follow me. Michael works at Lewis with me. He's a great, 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 great employee. Also, I say this to my youth group kids all the time. If you gain trust with your parents, you can do whatever you want. None of them believe me, but you just got to, like, like they'll have like any kind of curfew they wanted if their parents trusted them, but they haven't gotten it yet. They will. They're young. So, the biggest like compliment that I've ever gotten from a worker at work was when I became a manager at Lewis, and it wasn't like the managers before were bad. They were good managers. But like she said, for her, it was different for her. She said, the store feels different in a good way now that you're a manager. She just said that simple thing. I was like, oh, man, that's what I want. Like that culture is like where things feel like a breath of fresh air when I am in charge. Like, and that's how you should be a leader. It's like things should feel good when you become a leader. People should relax a little bit. They shouldn't be on edge anymore. So that's good. So you love people. You know about their lives. You know about their family. This isn't in your personality to know everything about everybody's lives, but it's kind of your job when you lead people is to know about them. They're not just like workhorses. They're people. And they're not necessarily replaceable. I know you can replace them, but they're not replaceable people. So that's something to think about when you're interacting with people, when you're treating people a certain way. Or maybe you're in a workplace situation right now where you're not necessarily in charge or the leader. Start treating people with respect and doing a few of these things. Like you're going to become the leader really fast, even if you don't want to be. You're going to get offers to be the leader. Yeah. All right, I have this picture of leadership. Do you guys want to put that up for me? Whenever I lead people, I think about this picture. It's really powerful. I saw it in a book once. It's really cool. So this is a boss. This is a leader.
Amen.
So all realms of society, that's what we need. We need a leader down there working with people. Matt used to tell me stuff like, everything you tell someone to do, you should have already done it at least once. So like, if I tell this young high school student to go sweep the parking lot, which I do that a lot because we have a garden shop, so we sweep outside. It's kind of weird. But I've done that a million times. So like, if they're like, why do I have to sweep? I'm like, well, I've done it too. Like, we all have to. So this is just a beautiful picture of leadership. This is the way I want to be right here, this guy. I don't want to be this guy. This guy doesn't look like fun to work for. Who wants that for their boss? No, it's nasty. All right, that's a good picture. All right, you can turn the lights on again. All right, so number four, let's keep moving. My time was taken away a little bit, just so everybody knows. So, all right, thank you. I'm not going late. All right, so number four is culture of creative freedom. Let people be who they are. They're not you, they're them. They are their own person, they are their own thing. If you try to create people to be just like you, you're not going to like it. You're like, there only be need for just you, because there already are you. We need somebody different, too. We need everybody's skills working together to create something beautiful. Creativity creates momentum, and it creates sales in a business realm. Let people be a part of the solution. And God does that for us, too. He actually, like I heard this thing, it's like God won't do anything unless we declare it. Like we have to say it and pray it for God to do it. And he partners with us in that way, which is just really bizarre for me. Like, I just don't get that at all. He's so good. Because he's God, he can do whatever he wants. So here is a good example of something that happened through creativity. I want to show you the picture of the truck. This year in the Lewis Garden Shop, this is a truck. Yeah, that was in my compound this year. There was this girl, her name was Lori, and she called me one day in like March, and she's like, I have a truck, and I want to put it in the garden shop. And I was like, okay, this is my baby. I trust you, but why would we put a truck in the garden shop? And like, we talked it through, and then I was like, okay, let's just go for it. I trust your judgment. We're going to take a risk. We're going to put a truck in the garden shop this year. And how many people have seen this truck? Probably everybody, because it's kind of weird, you know, that there was a truck in the middle of the compound. And the best thing I liked about it was like all these like little old men talked to me for the first time this year, like the wives of all, like the husbands of all these guys that whose wives buy all the plants. They all normally just sit in the compound bored to death, but now they're staring at this truck and they're happy, you know. And it kind of like created like a buzz in the community. Like, have you seen that weird truck at Lewis Drug? And I'm like, oh, that's so good. Like last year we had this bathtub and we had it in the compound. No one talked about it. They all talked about the truck. The bathtub was cool too, though. Okay, so. And I just thought that was good, like a really good example of like, this could have bombed and it would have been fine. We would have just had an ugly truck in the middle of the compound. But it didn't. It thrived, and it was great, and it was all because I trusted this one lady to do what God had given her to do, this ability to see something ugly and make it beautiful. All right? Okay, you can turn the lights on again. Thank you, Hank. All right, and here's a bad example. I'll tell about my bad example of a time when creative freedom was a bad thing. So it's still good. We learned from it. But so Easter 3 years ago, there was a competition, another competition. I love competitions. And who could have the best Easter display? Or Resurrection Sunday, I'm sorry, I'm in church. So who can have the best Resurrection Sunday display? And so I, in my creative genius, was like, we need to get some live chickens in here. And Matt was like, no, we're not doing that. And I'm like, we have to do that. And I like pulled a bunch of strings, and we got some live chickens from Runnings. Michael went with me to the store to Runnings to get it. And then we had to talk to the guy about it, and it was costing a lot of money. And we got 3 baby chickens into Lewis Drug, and they were in this pen. It was like a cat pen, though, so like it was bad. So that we got it all set up. It was pretty late when we got it all set up, and we got the light on it, the heat lamp, we got the hay, we got the water, and then all of a sudden this like overwhelming fear came over me, and I'm like, this is gonna be so much work. These are baby chickens. Like, you have to change their water like nonstop because we only had these stupid little dishes. And then like I went to bed that night and I thought the store was gonna burn down because of this heat lamp, and like it was just a nightmare. And then they got there in the morning and the baby chicks got out of the cage and they were like on the other side of Lewis, and they were chasing baby chickens around for at least a week. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. And like that first day I came to Matt, I was like, I never want to do that again. He's like, I've already decided we're not. And I was like, thank you for the freedom. I don't want it anymore. It was good. But we had baby chickens, and it wasn't as good of a success as the car. But I don't know. No one even remembers it. Now they're living at Dave and Patty's house laying eggs. So I don't want to know if they've been eaten, though. Okay, because that's sad. All right. And then also we have other people that take risk. We have Star Wars days at Lewis because we're weird. So, all right. So you just take a risk. You do what you can. And you trust people to do what they're supposed to do. And everyone's different. Everyone will do something different. And it's so easy because it's just like your child. You want to go in there and fix it because you're so much better at it and you're faster. But that's not how people learn and grow. And you want to have people grow so you can work yourself out of a job and get promoted, right? All right, so number 5, we're going to keep going. The last ones are quick. It's boldness. Boldness, especially in the things that matter. And bold doesn't mean that you're domineering at all. It just means you're doing your job. And it makes people feel safe when you're bold. Like at Lewis, we call the cops on pretty much everything. Like if you're doing something wrong and against the law, we'll call the cops on it. If you steal from Lewis, we'll press charges against you, and you will like get arrested. Like it's just, I mean, no matter how old you are, it doesn't matter. Like we'll do it. No matter even if it's for a $2 item, we'll do it. Because it's the right thing to do. And it keeps people safe. It keeps the community safe. And actually the police love Lewis for it. If you're a high schooler and you're sitting in the parking lot doing something stupid, we will call the cops. Like we're not gonna mess around. So also like something else that's bold for me is like when girls that I work with talk about doing stupid things with guys. Like I've had this like respect yourself girl talk like so many times. Like, but you got to be bold about it. You got to come against this stuff like it's the plague. It's not okay. So also when it comes to boldness, you have to find a bold plumb line. And what I mean by that is like as Christians, we have some stuff in our life that has to be like a stick in the stand for us. Like for instance, like one time I was given the option to be in charge of like the liquor area at Lewis. And I just told them, I'm like, I can't do that. Like it goes against everything in me, not to mention alcohol runs in my family, all these things. It's just, I would be terrible at that too. And I remember another manager saying to me like, well, someday you might have to do that. And I'm like, well, I could always quit. And they're like, why are you like that? I'm like, because I have to be. Like, I have to have my plumb line. I have to have this line in the stand. Like, for instance, if, like, Lewis started selling, like, pornography like crazy or something, like, I'm out. Like, you know why? Because I hate porn. Like, because I hate it. I hate everything about it. So, like, then sometimes there's, like, weird things that happen. Like, a few years back, like I became a floor manager, and you had to work some Sundays, like one Sunday a week or something, and then I would have to leave church early sometimes. And then I was like, well, this was a plumb line for me. I don't miss Sundays. And so I called my leaders. I have leaders around me, Autumn and Jeff. And I was like, here's the story. This is what I want to do. I want to get promoted, but this is the only thing holding me back. And they were like, get promoted. Like, that's what they said. They're like, do it. They're like, just break off the religion. It's only like this much time you're missing from church. It's not going to affect anything. Get promoted. So I was like, okay, I'm going off baby's own schedule. I'm getting promoted. So that's what happened. So I found my plumb line, but sometimes those things can be changed a little bit if you have godly counsel in your life to help you make those decisions. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So number six, it's pretty straightforward. It's like, respect the authority that you've been given. So if there's like a boss in your midst, even if they're not a believer, you should respect their authority. And there's tons and tons and tons of like scriptures about honoring the king, honoring authority. You guys know about that. We talk about that all the time here. Something that I've learned though is two things. It's like to choose your battles. So like you're probably going to disagree with your boss at least, you know, 20 times in a day, like, which I do because I'm just pretty bold personality. Like, you know, you're probably going to disagree, but you have to choose which ones are the things that most matter. Like, okay, so like this one doesn't necessarily matter because of this things, we might only lose this much sales. But if this one does matter because this is going to be detrimental to the company. But then when you do like go to your boss, do it privately and do it with respect, you know? And if they say no, just go along your way. Don't worry about it. They're the boss, you know? And also, like, go out of your way to help them succeed. To see someone else succeed at their job is, like, the most rewarding thing you could do. It's not, like, brown nosing. I actually hate the term brown nosing because it just says, like you can't honor people without being thought of as someone that, like, has other agendas. But, like, just loving people and, like, seeing them succeed is holy in what God wants you to do. Okay? Okay, so number seven is passion. This phrase has been going through my head a lot. It's not unspiritual to be passionate about success and sales. It's kind of weird, but it has to be a truth. It was really, really like loud to my heart, like that I was passionate about this thing, and God was too. And that's okay. It's good. I love it. It's not unspiritual. It's totally spiritual. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And that's Colossians 3:23. Yep. Building wealth and using it creatively is not a sin. It's a God-given skill. And I think about, like, Jewish people are, like, God's favorite people in the whole wide world, and we're grafted into that family. And, like, most Jewish people are super successful business leaders and have tons of money because they're just, that's how God made them. I just think that's cool. So I'm, like, a Jewish person because I'm God's kid, so there you go. One time I was talking with Matt at church, and we were talking about, we had this newspaper in the back, and we were looking at the senior day ad, and we were talking about it so intensely, and I just pulled back for a second. I'm like, we are the biggest nerds on earth. Like, this is so dumb. Like, why are we talking about this? But we're just passionate about our job, and that's totally legit. If you were to ask me in the middle of May what God was doing in my life, I'd be like, plants, garden shop, work. And that's what God's doing, and it's good, and I'm happy, and it's okay. So is that like breaking anyone's boxes? It totally broke my boxes when I realized it's okay. Because you can't do everything. You just can't. You gotta be influential in the realm that you're in. And lastly, I'm going to end with this one. It's number eight. It says, let God do the impossible. Which is kind of opposite of what you're thinking. The first one, which is, like, work really, really hard. Sometimes you can work super, super hard, but you still, like, can't do anything because God has to do the rest. So, like, we just do our part, and God does his part. And I heard this example when we were in Missouri. We went to Day Spring, and the pastor there said something like this. He said, imagine if you were in a dark room, and you had a bucket, and you started, like, taking that bucket and trying to scoop out the darkness out the window. How fast would you get that darkness out of there? Just work a little harder, Michael. Work a little harder. Get that darkness out of there. Is it going to work?
No.
Why? Because it's impossible. Only God can make that place not dark again. And you just got to be okay with that. You being there and God being in you will make that place light. Does that make sense? And it says, and we all know the scripture, it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13, which is everything. I think, Michael, you have this above your desk at work, right? Yep. All right. So I pray every single day before I go to work in my car. And then sometimes I get to work early, and I'm praying throughout the day, about every detail of the day. What exactly do you want me to do? What's the plan for the day? I already sometimes know, a good outline of what's going to happen, but I want to know the details. I want to know, this person's in work today. What can I do to help them today? Oh, I know that their daughter-in-law just found that they had cancer. I got to remember to talk to them about that. You just got to rearrange your life so that, with God, co-laboring with him, to make your day amazing. Every single day, it has to be that way. And sometimes there's a different agenda from God than what I was thinking that there was. And it's way better, and it creates more sales. And it's awesome for me because it makes me look awesome. So this is cool. And it says, ask and he will move the mountains for you. And I think that's very prophetic to the mountains, the seven mountains. It's like God can move mountains. He can change society. It's so, so true. So in conclusion, I want to talk about this. God... sometimes, Christians in the business realm and other realms, look at God as, a lucky rabbit foot. Did you guys have those when you were kids? You had, a little lucky rabbit foot. Sometimes they're purple. I had a purple one. I don't know. But you just keep it on you because it's lucky. And they treat God like, if I have God in my corner, I can be really successful at these things. But that's not true. That's not who God is. And God isn't also, a lifestyle. He's not really a lifestyle. I've been looking at lifestyles lately, I'm actually like vegan, which is weird, but anyways, I'm looking at all these people who are vegan and this vegan lifestyle, and it's totally not even close to who God is. It's just a mimic of a lifestyle of Christ. And what God is he is a loving father, and he has a relationship with us. And so when we communicate with God, he's not just someone that we pull from for stuff. He is someone that we pull for strength and for relationship. We don't go to our spouse and just pull stuff out of them and be like, hey, I want money, I need money, I need this thing, I need this stuff. No, we don't. We go to them and we are close. We talk, we communicate because we enjoy each other. We enjoy communicating. We enjoy doing life together. That's why we got married. So God wants to be a part of our every single day life, every single little tiny detail. Doesn't matter how unspiritual it sounds, he wants to be a part of every single detail. Why? Because he's in a relationship with us, and he cares about the things that we care about. So I just want to pray for us. If anybody is called to leadership in the Seven Mountains, I just want to pray for you. So if you want to just stand up if you're called to one of the realms, and I'm just going to pray a blessing over you, okay? So anybody called to any of them? I see leaders all over the room, so don't make me call you out, okay? All right. Why don't we lay hands on these leaders as we pray for them? Okay, so if you see someone standing, just reach over and lay hands on them. And then we'll go. Nice. All right, Father, right now I just ask you, God, that you would come and touch these leaders, God, right now. God, I pray that you would pour out your blessing upon them, God, that you would give them creative strategy, God, that you would give them creative ways, God, to reach the lost, Lord Jesus, God, to reach the masses for you, God, to be an influential member of society, Lord Jesus, for your sake, God. I pray that you would give them downloads, Lord Jesus, God, in the day, in the night, about exactly what they're supposed to do, exactly who they're supposed to meet, and exactly who they're supposed to lead, God. I pray for the people under them, Lord Jesus, God, that they would thrive underneath their leadership, God, that they would feel blessed by having them as their leader, Lord Jesus. Just give them grace, God, to lead well and not to give up, Lord Jesus, God, not to give up on the things that seem unspiritual, Lord Jesus, the things that seem uncelebrated, God. I pray that they would not give up on those things. I pray grace for them, Lord Jesus, God, to go on and have big pictures and big plans and to do things that are beyond themselves, God. I pray for you to do the impossible in their life, God. And God, I pray right now that you would touch them, God, that they have an intimate relationship with you and as you as their father, God. that you would be so intimately related to them, Lord Jesus, that they would know you in such an intimate and personal way, God, that every day of their life they would be communicating with you, they'd be praying without ceasing in such a way, God, on all things. Give them leadership giftings and downloads, God, and abilities beyond what they've been given. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Amen. Have a great day, everybody.